For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the program. I'm Peter Sampson. This is Believe in Blazers on the Believe Podcast Network. Great to be with you on a beautiful Friday here in Portland. A lot to get to. Going to jump right into it. Sad, sad week here in Rip City. Yeah, I know. I got the happy, up-tempo, major key background music going on, and I'm going to talk about something sad, right? The passing of Bill Walton while this bouncy little dance track is in the background. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Well, you know what? That's what the background music is, so live with it. But yeah, Bill Walton passes away after a battle with cancer. Gonna be honest, I think probably like you, this caught me off guard as well. I did not realize that at the Pac-12 tournament, the final Pac-12 tournament, that Walton wasn't there. And I was talking to someone that was down at the Pac-12 tournament and had mentioned, you know, that he wasn't there. And, you know, people speculated that maybe there was something going on at the time. I totally missed that. And maybe they didn't speculate openly. It was just maybe a group of media members going, man, where's Bill? You know, whatever the case is, obviously now we know that he was quite sick and ultimately passed away earlier this week. Very sad. Bill Walton, man, one of my favorites. I mean, you know, and we can get into the debate on who the greatest Blazer is, you know, of all time. And a lot of people say it's Damian Lillard. A lot of people say it's Clyde Drexler. A lot of people say it's Bill Walton. And it does depend on how you evaluate these things. And I guess, first of all, like, it doesn't matter, right? it doesn't matter who the greatest Blazer is or what your opinion is on it. You know, you can pick whoever you want. But, I mean, if you're talking about A, winning a championship, and B, just a player's peak, I mean, look, you know, regular season MVP, NBA Finals MVP, I mean, before the injuries kicked in, Bill Walton just absolutely dominant. Obviously, before my time, I've certainly seen plenty of footage of Walton play. And I've talked to Walton on a couple occasions in the radio days. We would love having Walton on the air. I shared this on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Peter Sampson, S-A-M-P-S-O-N. I loved when Walton would come on the air because he would just go. But there was a little bit of pre-planning that had to go into having Bill Walton on the air. So we would hear a couple days ahead of time, hey, we got Walton next Wednesday or whatever, next Monday. Bill Walton's coming on. Okay. And these weren't in studio, at least none of the ones that I experienced. These were phoners. And so it's great because, you know, you know people are going to tune in. Like, you're going to get ratings. And whether we like it or not, that's what matters in the sports radio world or all radio world. And so we knew we were going to get ratings, right? And we were going to have a great conversation, maybe a little one-sided conversation with Walton. Because as that day would get closer, you know, then it's, oh, it's Tuesday. Walton's in tomorrow. We ready? Okay. and then it's that morning, and we're having them on in the afternoon, then you have to do some back of the napkin math or back of the show sheet math. You have a little show sheet. It's basically just an outline about what you want to talk about on the show. You know, no, people, when you're in radio, you don't just totally write out your takes because it won't flow naturally, right? But you do jot down a word or two. In this segment, you know, Blazers injuries or, you know, whatever. Segment two, Oregon Ducks QB battle, and on you have that much, you know. Segment three, this guest, okay, and then I jot down some questions I want to ask. Maybe I don't go too hard on those questions, because if you just stick to your pre-written questions, you're going to have a bad conversation. You want to react to what the guest is saying. There's a whole art to it, but ultimately at the end of the day, you got a show sheet. Hopefully like an hour before you hit the airwaves. Sometimes it's 2 minutes before you hit the airwaves. I've even had it where it's 5 minutes after the show has begun. Oh, by the way, here's the show sheet. Oh, thanks, bro. But when Walton comes on, you flip that thing over and you go, okay, we've got this many commercial breaks, you know. It's not like this podcast. Okay, so to make it to this content, to get to the point where you're hearing me talk right now, you had to listen to a couple spots, right? At the beginning of the pod. And then at some point in the middle, there's going to be a little break, a little mid-roll, where all of a sudden one of our wonderful sponsors here at the Believe Podcast Network is going to tell you about a fine product or a service that you should partake in. And then again at the end. But like to a degree, like that mid-roll, I can kind of put it wherever, you know. And maybe there's not a ton and you can bounce around. But in radio, when serious money is going in for those spots, like you have to play them, right? You have to play them. That fact is also coupled with the fact that if you know Bill Walton, dude's going to talk, right? Now, are you going to be the guy that tells Mr. Walton that he needs to stop talking? I'm not. And so you get to the point where you're going, okay, first break. And we're kind of flexible on the breaks, like in theory. So we want to take our first break somewhere around, you know, 15 minutes after the top of the hour. It is a 4 minute and 15 second break. Great. Okay. And then our second break we will take at the bottom of the hour. It includes a sports update that takes a minute 30. And then there are spots that basically make that break 4 minutes. Okay, excellent. And then there's a third break that you want to take around 44 minutes past the hour. That is a 4 minute and 15 second break. So you get an extra 15 seconds in there. Then you come back and then you go and you have a hard out. The show has to end exactly at 59 minutes and 35 seconds so that the other stations that are syndicating your program can play exactly what they need to play. You give a sports update, the intro music comes in, and you're back right on time for the next hour. Okay, so if you have someone that's going to blow through all those hypothetical breaks, we add them up, we add the length of the sports update, we add the length of the show intro. How long can we go before we have to cut Walton off and just play commercials for the final, you know, however many minutes, like 15 minutes of the hour? And I had to do that back of the show sheet math multiple times, basically every time he came on. And my favorite Bill Walton memory, first of all, Walton was always cool. You know, talk to him off the air. We get him on the air. We talk to him on the air. He's fantastic. He was the same whether the mic was on or not, if you know what I mean. And that's one way you can really gauge people, you know, working in sports radio. Met a lot of famous dudes, right? I mean, and women, you know, but a lot of famous dudes, lots. And you kind of learn that it's just like anything else, right? Like some are really cool and some are really jerks. Most are just in between, like all of us, right? But there are a handful of people that are very, very not super friendly until the red light goes on, if you know what I mean. And Bill Walton was not one of those guys. By the way, this has nothing to do with Blazers basketball. But I will tell you, one of the nicest dudes I've ever talked to off the air. This is kind of random. Jack Coletto, Oregon State Beavers. Remember the two-way guy, the multi-position guy, kind of jack of all trades, you know? Jack Coletto, Camas Washington's finest, one of the nicest dudes I've ever spoken to. At the end of the day where he's trying to get drafted, we had him for like two seasons. And at the end of the year, like, okay, Beaver season is done, and I'm going to the combine, I'm trying to get drafted, I'm trying to get my career going. Like, off air, I was just, hey man, thank you for your time, appreciate it. And generally the answer with athletes is like, yep. And then that's it. And he's like, hey man, I just really want to thank you. This was a fantastic opportunity. This da 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 da. And he took like a minute thanking me. And it's like, bro, no, I got you. This is good stuff. We're happy to have you. But he was just so respectful and polite. And I mean, just a cool dude. So, you know, I'm not a Beavs guy. I'm not a Ducks guy either. I'm just not a college football guy. But always rooting for Jack Coletto wherever I go. But I digress. Bill Walton, always cool when the red light is not on. He's just a cool guy. But the record, at least in my tenure with Alpha Media, was 39 minutes. 39 minutes being asked one question. I don't even remember what the question was. And it doesn't matter. Does it matter what the question was? No, it doesn't. Because we got an epic, epic Bill Walton monologue. And I remember just sitting there the whole time, like, I'm loving this, right? Like, I love it. But also, I'm just watching that clock. Just tick, tick, tick. I'm like, dude, we got to get these spots in. It has to happen. I'm looking at the phone screener. You know, is this going to work? Are we going to do this? Is one of the affiliates going to get really upset because all of a sudden, you know, we're still going and then they have to dump the show to play their spots, which are different than our spots? That's why you got to keep things on time. And I mean, we managed to do it. And he said it ahead of time. At a certain point, after a couple of these, he's like, just tell me to shut up when you need me to. I'm just like, well, I mean, we're not going to say it that way, Bill, but we'll let you know. But even then, you know, you start cutting in a little bit. And I mean, it was always great times. And I know at least the everyone, you know, here in Rip City loved him as a player. I know that some of the old heads, you know, there were issues with kind of how his exit was handled, and he forced the trade and he wouldn't come back. And I know in 2009, you know, when he came back to really make amends, and I feel like he successfully did that. But I do know that the broadcasting side, the second career, was a little divisive. I loved him back in the day on the NBA broadcast with Steve Snapper Jones. Oh man, it did not get better than that. That's my childhood right there. Is you know, you have Marv Albert or whatever, and then you know yes, and it counts, and then you have Walton, you know, Eric Dampier, the greatest big man to have ever graced God's finest hardwood here in Dallas, and then Steve Snapper Jones is just stuck in the middle, like, what in the hell are you talking about, bro? What are you talking about? And I loved it. You know, as a teenager, like, oh my God, me and my friends, we would just die laughing at Walton. And, you know, but good for him. If you remember, he was so shy, you know, he had the stutter growing up and, you know, overcoming that to be a broadcaster, especially a verbose broadcaster, which he certainly was. I mean, I personally loved it. And I know some people, like, I just, especially with the Pac-12 network, I just wanted to watch the games. Like, I just want to watch the game and see what's going on. I don't need Walton waxing philosophically about the Grateful Dead for, you know, 26 minutes while we're in a close game. And I get that. And I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, because I totally understand. Like, and I guess the difference between us is I didn't care about the Pac-12. Like, I think it's BS that it's gone. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't my thing. But if it was your thing, and you've got, say, it's like a 74-73 game, you know, especially if it's a rivalry game, and you're down to the wire, and then Walton is just rambling off topic, I get why you wouldn't care for that. Okay, I really do. But for me, man, it was great. And, I mean, Rip City lost a great one. I remember he came and he did that bike ride a couple years ago. I didn't take part. I know Eric Gunderson Associated Press, formerly Vancouver Columbian, great guy. See him on press row pretty frequently at the Blazers games. I think he took part in that. It was just great. I mean, Walton was just, he was a special guy. And he was so, I know he's not from here, but is there a better sort of avatar for Portland, Oregon? Do you know what I mean? Like, Damian Lillard repped this city so hard and, you know, still does. You know, he's back here. This is where his family is. This is where his friends are. You know, I saw a picture of him at Costco the other day. He's back, you know, they've been eliminated. He's stocking up on, you know, paper towels and, I don't know, pork loin or whatever, just like the rest of us. But like Walton, just especially back then, just being that weirdo, completely unique. And I mean that in a good way. One of one, you know, sort of hippie guy. And I know we're not that much as that anymore here in Portland. There's certainly that aspect of it. But, you know, as times change, you know, and Portland's grown up a little bit, it's lost that. But especially back then, man, like there was no better representation of this city than Bill Walton. And, you know, I've always said, you know, before I die, man, I need to see a Blazers championship. Blazers won it in 77. Obviously, I was not alive. I was born in 78, of course. I missed it by a year. But I want to experience that one time before I die. I want the parade down Broadway. I want to celebrate. And just whenever I think about that, I think about Walton at that parade, riding his bike to the parade and just celebrating with all the residents of this city. You know, the one time that they actually got it done, and he was the guy to lead them to it. So now, you know, Walton's gone. Maurice Lucas is gone. Jack Ramsey is gone. And, you know, not as many dudes left from that team. I mean, we're coming up on, you know, 50 years since that team won it all. And isn't it about time that they won another one? I think it is. You know, 50 years is a good round number. So if maybe we're gunning for 2027 here, which would be perfect for the timeline. So, you know, Godspeed, Bill Walton, and Rip City will miss you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, let's talk some more current NBA. A lot going on right now at the moment. The Blazers continue to work guys out, and no one really notable yet, at least as of this point. It's interesting looking at the all the draft stuff. I mean, you look at a bunch of mock drafts, and like it seems like virtually everyone, right after the lottery results were announced, seemed like everyone had a different result, right, for the Blazers. But I am noticing now that we're getting into mock draft 2.0, and some of them are even 3.0. All right. Starting to see a little bit of not consensus per se, but a little bit of smoke around Donovan Klingon, which is interesting to me. I mean, obviously, great collegiate player, you know, back-to-back champion. He's barely 20 years old. He's huge. There's a lot of smoke around the Trailblazers wanting to potentially trade up to get Klingon, but also there's a decent possibility that he would somehow be around at pick 7, which seems crazy because he's kind of a consensus top 3 talent. But with all these question marks at the top of the board, and then looking at the fact that, like, well, okay, what teams ahead of Portland has centers that they're sort of committed to? Well, certainly the Spurs do, you know, the Pistons do, the Houston Rockets do with Alperen Sengun. And so you've got all these teams that don't really need a Donovan Klingon, right? But then the real question for me becomes, do the Blazers need a Donovan Klingon? And I'm not sure about that. So I don't know, man. Like, I work for Clutch Points, which is, I mean, it's kind of a silly outlet. We know that. I'm saying that. It's just true. They're working hard to change their reputation. And which is, it's like turning around the Titanic, right? When you make your name just based on ridiculous meme graphics about sports, and then you're like, oh, we're going to start like getting actual journalists and covering teams. Well, like, okay. And that's good, and we're starting to do good work, but what are you known for? It takes a long time to sort of change that narrative. It's a challenge, but it's a national outlet, right? And I see a lot of stuff from the national guys, and they're still talking about DeAndre Ayton's season last season. Like, well, the Blazers, it was kind of as expected, but they need to move off Ayton. Or Ayton was the biggest disappointment on the team. Really? Were we watching? Well, I already know the answer. You weren't watching. You're just following the national narrative that's followed Ayton for a couple years. And I'll say, like, the first couple months were pretty disappointing with Ayton. I still wouldn't even say that beginning period was the Blazers' biggest disappointment. It wasn't. He was a little underwhelming. He also wasn't getting the ball that much, which is what I was surprised at. Like, wow, they got a max guy and an athletic freak, and it's the kind of player that fits what Chauncey Billups wants to do, and they're not giving him the ball. Well, when they did, there you go. Like, he looked amazing. And he's still young enough at 25. He does fit in with the timeline. And I'm not saying that he's a long-term piece, because you don't know. I mean, you just don't know. But you can't say that he was a disappointment and the Blazers need to draft his replacement at this point. I just don't think that you can. Not to mention, if that's the narrative that's out there, whether it's true or not, who are you going to move him to? I don't think you really can. I do think that if the Blazers are interested in Donovan Klingon, and I am seeing some smoke that they are, like, I really think it's a thing. I think it's probably more that they're not happy with the backup bigs. Do you know what I mean? I mean, look, Robert Williams III, I don't think his future is in Portland. I hope his future is on an NBA court, but, you know, I still think that the Blazers will get some sort of offer for him, even though, you know, he's coming off the season ending injury. They'll get something for him, and it makes sense to just move off of him. And Duop Reath is a great story. It's so awesome. And, you know, he got rewarded with a standard contract, but is that truly the guy that you think should play 19 to 20 minutes a game, you know, going up against NBA bigs? Maybe. I mean, maybe, but if you want to get where you want to get, you know, if you want to be Minnesota or Denver or the Celtics, or, I mean, even the Pacers or something like that, like, is Duop Reath the backup center on those teams? I don't think that he is. And, you know, he was a rookie. I guess he's got some room to grow. He's also 27, so does he have that much room to grow? Maybe he should be more of the third string guy. And, you know, of course, you then have Ibu Baji, who is still a two-way player. He's still a couple years away. Man, he was fun, but he didn't do much in the way of, like, yeah, that's a smart basketball play. This guy needs more minutes. It was dunking and blocking shots and goaltending, and that's basically what he did, and committing fouls. But he's very fun. Another cool story, in addition to Duop Reath, is Ibu Baji. But is Reath the guy? Maybe, you know, if you're rebuilding and you just need to eat some minutes and have a player out there that's not going to embarrass himself, that's Duop Reath for sure. But so you can make the case, well, Donovan Klingon, you know, certainly I think that he can be an NBA backup. I think that he can be an NBA starter. I don't necessarily see star potential with him. I don't think I'm alone in that. And some of those, you know, oh, he's a winner. Some of those guys make me nervous. You know what I mean? Just product of the system. I don't think he's necessarily a product of the system. I just think maybe a touch overrated. But if there's one draft where I'm willing to be wrong, it's this one, because everyone's going to be wrong. No one knows anything about this draft. I don't think he's a bad pick. But it is a little interesting to me that there's all this smoke out there. Now, this could be a smoke screen as well. And, you know, whether the Blazers are interested in Solon or another guy like that. I mean, you know, they're not going to get Sarr or something like that. Like, that's the top of the board. It seems to be pretty solidified. But once you get into the to 7 or 8 range, then you start running into some question marks. And I think a lot of what the Blazers do, it depends on what happens beforehand. And, you know, before you say, well, duh, Samson, oh, word, like who they pick depends on who's not available. That's not what I mean. What I mean is some of these teams that might potentially take him, I think, are looking to trade down. I think pretty much every team is considering trading down or completely out of this draft, because you go like, man, if I don't think that this player has star potential or, you know, or whatever, do I really want to pay them the rookie scale for, say, pick 3 or pick 4? Because, look, those salaries are preset. And while they're cheap, if you're getting a big-time guy, you know, Anthony Edwards on a rookie deal, you know, Victor Wembanyama on his rookie deal, that's a steal, right? But what if a guy doesn't really pan out? You know what I mean? Scoot Henderson taking at pick 3. What if he played the entire season or the next 2 years like he did the first 2 months of his rookie year? Even at rookie scale, that's too much money, bro. Now, am I worried about that? No, not really. I'm not. Just by the way that he sort of developed throughout the year. But that's just to illustrate the point that you don't necessarily, if you don't believe in these guys, you don't really want to pay them. And so I think because of that, a lot of these teams might be trading completely out of the draft to get maybe a vet. You know what I mean? What Houston needs shooters, you know? Could they trade the number 3 pick along with, you know, a Dylan Brooks or something like that and get more shooting? And they do need a power forward as well. I'm not saying they should do a deal with Portland. I don't know what that would look like, but, you know, they have needs. Could they address those needs instead of taking a chance on a guy? I think a lot of these teams might do that. I mean, the Pistons have needs everywhere. Do they want to draft 5th again, or do they maybe just want to move on? So Portland could have a chance to move up. They could not have a chance to move up, but their guy, instead of being taken, say, 3rd, 4th overall, like the rankings have them, could all of a sudden land in their lap at number 7. I don't know. And then, of course, you get into the 14th pick as well. I don't know what they're going to do there. And, you know, if someone tells you they know what they're going to do there, they're not telling you the truth, because no one really knows. I bounce back and forth. I get the feeling one day, like, you know, I think the Blazers are going to use both the first round picks and move off the second round picks. And I go, no, I mean, you've already got a salary crunch. They're just going to draft at 7 and or maybe higher and use like 7 and 14 to get to 5. And then they're going to go ahead and not take that second pick, or they're going to use it, but it's going to be a draft and stash. I just can't decide what I think they're going to do. Maybe I'll get a better idea as we get closer to the draft in about, you know, 3.5 weeks here. But as things stand now, no clue. Really quickly before we get out of here, NBA Finals are set. Should be fun. Man, the Dallas Mavericks have, don't they remind you of that 2012 Mavericks team? You know, a 6 seed that just sort of erupts and late in the season going into the playoffs. And man, Kyrie and Luka, I was on record on the airwaves in Portland saying, man, they're going to regret that. No, they don't. I was wrong. And Nico Harrison was right. So props to them. They've made an NBA Finals now, and I'm very excited to see Luka Doncic in an NBA Finals. Taking on the Boston Celtics, no real surprise there. In the West, we had all these surprises, you know, the Thunder go home, Minnesota, the top seed, are they going to run? Oh, no, they're not. They've run into Denver. Denver's going to win it all. We've known that all year long, and then they punk Denver, and then Denver bounces back, and then Minnesota comes from behind and handles it when it matters. And Dallas, meanwhile, is just winning games the whole way. You know, they go through the Clippers, and they go through everybody. And it's been surprising. And then you go to the East, where there's been no real drama. I mean, Knicks, Sixers had that drama early, but I mean, aside from that, it's just been, yeah, the Celtics are clearly the best team in the East. And here we go. I guess you could say Pacers-Milwaukee had some drama, you know, with the injuries to the Bucks. But that's sort of an absence of drama. It's just sort of the wind was taken out of the sails of that series with Giannis getting hurt right before it. And then Damian Lillard with the knee / Achilles, whatever it was. And then Chris Middleton perpetually banged up. So Boston just sort of works their way through. And it's going to be interesting. You know, I know Kyrie has played in the finals and, you know, he has multiple finals appearances, but for the most part, you know, these guys, not a lot of playoffs experience. You know, Luka has never gone this deep. And then you have the Celtics, where you have, you know, Tatum and Brown have played 19 playoff series together. They were in a finals just a couple years ago. You know, then you add Al Horford and Porzingis, Drew Holiday, who won one with the Bucks three seasons ago. They're very experienced. They're getting Porzingis back, supposedly. The fact that we have, like, still another week until the finals get underway certainly bodes well for the Celtics, you know, getting that rest and getting Porzingis right. I think it's going to be fun. I mean, on paper, the Celtics are the better team. I know that. But through the playoffs this year, frankly, last year as well, they've struggled at home in the postseason. And there's something about just getting hot at the right time. And that's what the Dallas Mavericks have done. They ramped things up. They started balling out of their minds. And no one wants to play these guys. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, they have just enough supporting cast to get things done. I think it's going to be a great series. I guess you force me. I'd like to say I'm picking the Celtics, but I really don't know. But I do think we're going to go 6 or 7 games, regardless of who wins this series. Maybe I'll hold off until the next edition here of Bleav'n Blazers, and I'll make my pick then. With that, we're out of time. Going to get out of here. Make sure to follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Peter Sampson, Sampson. We'll be back with you next week right here on Bleav'n Blazers. See ya.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.